Your Questions Answered, Part 1, a special episode of Leaning Toward Wisdom. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I am your host here. Yes, the website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. That's the tagline. I don't use it very much, but I still stick with it. I am in the throes of recording a new episode. Well, actually, I'm writing it. But in the meantime, I thought I would produce this special episode answering some of the questions that I get. And a number of these questions come fairly regularly. In fact, I would say most of them do. And if you've been a longtime listener of the podcast, you likely, well, I'm supposing, I'm kind of scanning these questions that I've pulled. And there's, I don't know, there's 10 or so of them. Yeah, I mean, most of these, I think you would probably be able to distill from listening to the podcast, but this is a way to kind of put them all in one nice, neat package and put a bow on it. So with that, let's get going. I hope you are a subscriber to the podcast. If you're not, then what's your problem? Get with the program. If you are not inside the private Facebook group, then I would also encourage you to join that. You can do that by going to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Click on that Facebook icon in the header, and it'll take you right there. I have five people languishing who are not inside the Yellow Studio yet because, well, they didn't answer. There's two questions. They're super easy questions, but you got to answer the questions or I'm not going to let you in. So if you are listening and you are one of those five who are languishing and you don't take the time to answer those questions, I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you in. Come on, it's a really small ask. It's a very, 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 very small speed bump to kind of get in the way of trolls or other people. So let's get with it. Question number one, when did Leaning Toward Wisdom begin? Technically, the URL was registered. I had to go back and look this up. The URL was registered on February the 2nd, 2005. So we're now 15 years into me owning the domain name, but the site and the idea for it began much, much sooner. The very first site, and I went back to try to find out, but I couldn't find out what URL I was using at the time. I think I was using just one of those really long, convoluted URLs that you would get with your internet provider back in the day. You know, and this is back in the day of GeoCities and all that kind of stuff, if you're old enough to understand and remember all that stuff. And I built a site. It was purely HTML. And this was in late 96, early 97, and put some things online. And I remember one of the things that I put online is I scanned some concert tickets. Ron and I went to see Leo Kottke in a really small venue, and I had tickets, and I'd always wanted to see Leo in concert, and I didn't remember him ever coming around, but he came and we went, and it was terrific, and I remember posting those, and I don't know, it was really just a journal, to tell you the truth. In fact, that's what we called it back in the 90s, in the late 90s. It wasn't called blogging until sometime later, and just journaling, and I wasn't doing it all of that regularly, but I was doing it under the guise of Leaning Toward Wisdom, and I can't tell you where that came from. That phraseology, it just seemed right. For starters, it seemed appropriately humble enough because I certainly at the time, and I still don't, here I am 20 some odd years later, I didn't feel like I had a lock on wisdom. But I wanted to have a bigger lock on it. So that was kind of the mindset for the word leaning. I mean, I didn't want to stake put my flag in the ground and make this big declaration, I've achieved it. I still don't feel that way. I don't suppose I'll ever feel that way. But I registered it in February of 2005, back before the year 2000, though. At some point between 97 and the year 2000, I hired a young man who at the time lived up in Plano, which is a northern, kind of a northern suburb of the DFW area. And he had moved here from Austin. He had taken a job, and he did some work with a platform called Expression Engine, and kind of convinced me to go with that particular content management system, CMS, for the purpose of doing this journaling and whatnot. And he did a pretty terrific job with the design. The problem was it didn't last very long. I don't mean the design. I just mean my effort, my energy. When I had just built this kind of stupid, ugly, plain HTML site, I felt like I was in there all the time. It was like having a comfortable notebook. Have you ever had a comfortable, are you a notebook person? Man, I am. And I've got some notebooks that they're just more inviting than other notebooks. And it may not have anything to do with it being the fanciest or the prettiest. Well, this new design that he gave me was really terrific. I kind of felt my way around Expression Engine, and it was fine. But boy, I got out of the habit real quickly from writing as much as I had before. And I finally, after months and months, I stepped back and thought, you know, I'm not doing anything. I mean, I paid a little bit of money. I've got this design and it looks nice and nah. So I kicked it all to the curb. That was really the precursor for me going and registering a domain. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get the domain. I'm going to buy hosting, because I wasn't buying hosting at the time. I was just using whatever I got with the internet provider. And that's how we got our email addresses. I mean, my email address for years and years was rc4@flash.net. So, you know, some funny how you think back. So that's kind of the time frame for it all. So it's been around for a long, long time. Next question, what got you started in podcasting? It really wasn't called podcasting. In 1997, again, the time that I was kind of doing all this real tinkering and whatnot, I realized that you could upload audio files. I don't remember how I discovered this, but I'm sure I stumbled across some audio somewhere. Now, audio was not easy to access on the web back in the 90s. There was no real standard format. You know, these enclosures, like if you go to my site, if you go to Leaning Toward Wisdom and you see any particular post, you'll see a player. Okay, well, back in the 90s, we didn't have those players. Those players are provided by code that, you know, provides this enclosure, if you will, for the audio. And without getting too technical, it just makes it easy. Makes it easier to play audio on a website. We didn't have that. Well, if we did have it, I wasn't aware of it. So I had a little digital recorder. I think it was an Olympus. It was either a Microsoft, kind of a funky file that was unique to Microsoft, or it was a unique Olympus format. And I could record stuff into it, and the audio quality was perfectly fine. I'd upload it, but it was this stupid, crazy format. And you had to have all kinds of tools to be able to, number one, downloading it. It was not difficult, but you had to download it. You couldn't play it from the web. And you couldn't play it from the web because it was this stupid format. And so you'd have to download it to your computer, and then you'd have to make sure that you had something that could play it. And you either had to have whatever it was from Microsoft or whatever it would have been from Olympus, or you had to have a piece of software that would convert it to something that you could play. So it was crazy difficult. I wasn't thinking about people listening any more than I was thinking about people reading. For me, it was just, I looked at the internet at the time as just kind of this depository for me to write stuff. And I could access it, you know, if I was at my computer, I could access it, I could write it. I didn't have to print anything out. I wasn't saving anything to a hard drive, you know, because all that stuff was expensive. So it was just, okay, I can write it and it's somewhere. Nobody called anything the cloud. You know, we didn't know anything about the cloud at the time. And again, this is in the late 90s. So it was really just a means for me to record some things in writing. And then I got used to, and we called it audio journaling. We were journaling, which later became blogging, and that morphed into audio journaling because it was just easier. I was out and about, and I had my digital audio. I was accustomed to using microcassettes for dictation and kind of stuff, and I had done that since I was in high school. So I was really accustomed to kind of talking to myself. I'm still accustomed to it. So the audio journaling kind of morphed over time into podcasting once we realized, hey, there's this thing called RSS. There's this thing that we can subscribe. I was subscribing using some little pieces of code and technology. I was getting like news feeds. So when somebody updated their site, I could get this notification. Well, I had already learned that, you know, we kind of had these news groups and whatnot, and you had IRC was in play. So you had chat, you had forums, you know, you had these bulletin boards. Those were kind of the bulletin boards were the big social media thing of the day. In fact, it was the only social media thing of the day. So you had these communities. Now everybody was anonymous and everybody had these really stupid titles and handles. But podcasting, that's pretty much what got the podcasting started. And again, it was just a means of recording the content. And I don't mean recording it in audio. I just mean recording it, period, of just getting it down and getting it saved. Next question, and these are in completely random order, by the way. I probably should have organized these better. What happened to Project Hashtag Craving Encouragement? I talked about it. I was really excited about this. And for background, Project Craving Encouragement began because of me sitting across from business leaders and having conversations about encouragement, particularly in their own lives. And it became pretty astonishing to me how many of them went back. And they went back, in some cases, it just seemed like eons, to some time when somebody really encouraged them in a meaningful way, somebody who really made a difference for them. Now, the good news is I have not yet met the self-made man or woman. Everybody that I've ever met who had accomplished anything at all have a rather lengthy list of people to whom they are willing to attribute helping them get there and get this done. And each of these people and each of these business leaders that I was sitting across from, these people that were basically clients, they could think of a time, and most of them honestly had to go back to childhood. This was kind of the fascinating thing. And I began to wonder, are they doing this because they think that's where they need to go? Or are they doing that because that's the most comfortable place to go? Or has it really been that long? And maybe it's because they were young and it was something that it was a kind of a pivotal time for them as opposed to something more recently. So I would peel that back, and I would also come back and I would ask, well, anything more recent? And people would have an enormously difficult time trying to think of a time, a more recent time. Now, some people could go back to their first boss, or they could go back to their first really good boss, and they might say something. But it was really super rare for me to find somebody who could go back even just a number of years. And then I would ask the question, well, when's the last time that you encouraged somebody in a really meaningful way? And quite often people would have a difficult time with that. So that was the genesis of the project. And my hope was to encourage you, the Leaning Toward Wisdom listener. And part of this was admittedly a little bit mercenary at the time. I was going to burn the studio to the ground, not literally, but I was going to revamp the studio. There was a little piece of gear that was produced by Rode called a Rodecaster Pro. It's a little mixing board, and it had all of the technology built into it that I had built in the studio and had in a big rack of equipment, hardware. I'd had this hardware for 15 years, and the hardware was great and it was wonderful, but it was a lot of gear and it was a ton of cables and it was a lot of stuff. And I didn't twist and tweak knobs. I had to do that back in the day, but everything was kind of set, but it was cumbersome, really, really cumbersome. And out comes this little piece of gear that was, I don't remember, $600-700, that would do everything that this whole rack of gear would do. Well, I kind of wanted one. I thought, well, I'm just going to crowdfund this thing. I'm going to see if anybody's interested. So I kind of did this project, hashtag Craven Encouragement. And if anybody wanted to send me $20 or more, I'd give them a free Skype call. And what I wanted, first and foremost, I want to hear your story of a time where you received encouragement that really made a difference for you. And after that, we can talk about anything you want to. And I think I had a $30 level. If you gave me $30 or more, then I'd give you half an hour. And I got the road. I got enough contributors, enough of you, thank you, by the way, enough of you contributed. And I got the road, and I got rid of all of that gear and all of that cable. And man, I mean, it made my life so much more enjoyable, and it made podcasting, quite frankly, so much more enjoyable. Now I'm a gearhead and I loved the gear, and I thought, oh, this is going to be really hard to let go. But I did. I let go of the gear, and it was fine. The problem is I only had two people. Two. Count them, two. I only had two people. I sent emails to the people that contributed. I sent multiple emails to the people who contributed. I talked about it in the podcast. I posted things over in our private Facebook group because I think most everybody who contributed are members of the private Facebook group. There's 130 or so people over there. It's a small, 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 small group. I got nothing. I got crickets chirping. Dave Jackson, who runs the School of Podcasting, schoolofpodcasting.com, Dave was the first to agree that he would have a conversation with me, and I released that in an episode. You can go find it over at leaningtowardwisdom.com. Jim Collison, and Jim does a podcast with Dave on Saturday mornings called Ask the Podcast Coach. Dave is up in Ohio. Jim is in Omaha, Nebraska, or Bellevue, Nebraska. Bellevue is a mental hospital, isn't it? Jim Collison is the other person who took me up on it. And Jim and I had a perfectly nice conversation, and I released that. Beyond those two, nobody else would even respond. And I had some people who contributed, no offense to Jim and Dave. I appreciate their contribution, but I'm thinking of at least one person who contributed substantially more money than they did. And I had some anonymous contributors, and I would even ask family, okay, was this you? No, wasn't me. So, I mean, I even had a few that I didn't even know who they were. So long and short of it is what happened to Project Hashtag Craving Encouragement. I just ditched it due to lack of interest. The URL just came up due 30 days ago or so. I ditched it. I just let it go. You know, I thought it was a good idea. I liked the idea. But I thought, you know, I need to pull the trigger on another idea that doesn't have legs, like I need a hole in the head. So I pulled the trigger in the opposite way. I killed it. So that's what happened to hashtag Craving Encouragement. Do you make money podcasting? If so, how much? No, I don't. So that gives you your answer to how much. I'm one of these guys that didn't start podcasting to make money. And for a long, 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 long time, even over at my work website, which is BulaNetwork.com, the easiest way to get there is to go to GrowGreat, GrowGreat.com. That'll take you there. That podcast, the number one email and question I would get at that podcast, which began a long, 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 long time ago, was how do you make money? You never sell anything. You don't even pitch anything. And I didn't for a long, 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 long time. I didn't get into this for that. I got into this to put down what I was thinking, what I was feeling, what I had learned, what I had hoped to teach. So the answer is I don't make money podcasting. Now, let's pull back. The work site, growgreat.com, I do executive and leadership coaching. I facilitate groups and teams, and I'm in the process of working to launch a peer advisory group, an online peer advisory group. So I do have a money-making component, but the podcast is really just is a content, kind of a content marketing strategy if you want to look at the business side of it. But that's not why I started. I started just because I just wanted to do it. So I hope that helps. What was the point in starting Leaning Toward Wisdom? Very simply, the point of Leaning Toward Wisdom was to record some things. My kids were in high school at the time, and it was just to record some things that I knew they weren't listening. I knew they wouldn't listen. But I thought, you know, when I'm dead and gone, the cool thing about audio and the cool thing about writing and putting stuff online, unless you take it down, is it can continue on. And that was really the thought. Leaning Toward Wisdom started, the point of starting Leaning Toward Wisdom was a legacy project for my kids who are now grown. That's pure and simple. Where is the Yellow Studio and how did it get its name? The Yellow Studio is a home office, and it got its name because, well, the walls are painted mustard yellow. So that's a pretty easy answer. You can go over to leaningtowardwisdom.com, and there I did a couple of quasi tours, you know, tours of the Yellow Studio, and there's all kinds of photographs, and you can see the yellow walls. And so I dubbed it the Yellow Studio, and I began to say, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. So there you go. What's your background? Why did you get interested in making a podcast about wisdom? I assume by background, the person wants to know, you know, kind of what your professional background, I mean, you know, background is, that's a broad subject. Those two questions were asked together, by the way. So I'm going to kind of put them together. I guess it seems to me that the implication is, you know, what makes you qualified to talk about wisdom? My background is, I don't know. When it comes to wisdom, I have no lock on this. I'm just muddling my way through just like you are. Let me start with the last one. Why did you get interested in making a podcast about wisdom? Because it was something that I was absolutely wanting for myself. I have always highly, highly, highly prized wisdom. I remember being a young kid and playing with other kids and watching behavior, and especially watching poor behavior and watching people who, for whatever reason, could not or would not control themselves, and being pretty fascinated with the differences in people. And I don't mean just the differences in personality. I just mean the differences in our ability to handle certain situations. I had buddies, for instance, who absolutely would fist fight at the drop of a hat. And I never did. I never did, for a variety of reasons, not the least of which was I would have likely lost my own life to my mother. But it just seemed to be how they were. And I'm not making excuses for them, but it was fascinating to me. It was fascinating to me how people could get into it over seemingly small things. And I would look at this and I would think, there's a better way to handle this, you know? And I would often try to help my friends handle it in a better way. And I would try to talk sense into people. I remember being a little kid in elementary school and being the peacemaker out on the playground. whether we were playing kickball or tetherball or something else and some kids start getting into it, I was always very, very quick to step in the middle and try to reason with people to, you know, let's don't anybody get in trouble here. I don't know where that comes from. It's just how I am. I've always been interested in how can we behave better? And for me, I've told you before, wisdom for me is defined as getting it right in real time. You know, so if one of my buddies got into a fist fight and they got suspended for 3 days, yeah, okay. Immediately they're thinking, probably could have handled that better, right? Could have avoided all this trouble. The problem is then it's too late. How can you make that decision? How can you make that right decision right there, right then and there in the heat of the moment? That's wisdom. I was always really interested in that, super interested in that. So if that answers the background question for you, then great. And if it doesn't, then I'm sorry. Not real sure what you mean. I love this one. Will you ever get on a regular schedule and release episodes more often? I'm not going to lie to you and tell you yes. I'm going to tell you the truth and tell you that I'd love to. I would like to. And I can't explain necessarily why it has been so difficult, but it has. I've looked at it. I've examined it. I've stared in the mirror about it. I've pondered it. And I still don't have a good answer as to why. I have not lost my zeal or enthusiasm for the project. So don't read into that I'm losing interest and that it's going to go by the way of project hashtag craving encouragement. Not so. This has been around for a long, long time, and Lord willing, I'll continue to do it. I will tell you that a couple of years ago, I just quit putting pressure on myself to do it. Now, the Grow Great website, growgreat.com, I produce a podcast there that is released every Tuesday. Occasionally, I'll also release an episode on a Friday, but my thing is I want to release an episode every Tuesday. I've thought about doing that here. The problem is this is longer form content. Those episodes tend to be somewhere around 15 minutes. The episodes here tend to be closer to an hour. In some cases, they're a little bit less, and in some cases, they're more. I've got episodes here that run 90 minutes, probably too long. I can also tell you that I began to structure the content more carefully, I don't know, over the last 10 years. When things started around here, it was really free-flowing. I would sit down, I would have a couple of bullet points, and I'd just go. And I didn't necessarily like that. And what I didn't like about it, here's the thing that you need to know about me if you don't already. I like to write. And what I found is, I found that really prevented me from writing. And that was really the thing I wanted to do. That was really the thing that started around here. So I began to do more writing, but the episodes came less frequently. Now I would write and I would be writing on something for weeks at a time. I just couldn't finish. You know, I couldn't maybe get the structure down or whatever else. So I do the work on the front end, but I'll get to that because that's another question that's coming here down the pike. Will I ever get on a regular schedule? I would like to get on a more regular schedule. I would love to release an episode at least every other week. I would like to release two podcasts a month here. I'd love to do it every week, but I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that my schedule will even allow that. But, well, that's not true. That's an unfair comment. If it meant more to me, I could. And that sounds kind of insane because it means a lot to me. But that's just the fact of it, right? I mean, if you look at your life and the things that you say that you would like to do, but you're not doing it, you evidently, you don't like it as much as you say you do or you would do it. And that's kind of how I feel. I love this and I love it. Well, I can tell you what it is for me. it just doesn't feel, it doesn't feel right to devote at this stage of life, to devote more time to it. Yeah. Okay. That doesn't, that's not going to sound good either. Hang on. All right. Wisdom is getting it right in real time. Okay. So this is real time. I'm not editing. You know me, I don't edit. I only edit for silences and things. I do all the work on the front end. But with this one, I'm just reading the questions and I'm just going for it. I did do a little bit of research, like when did I register leaningtowardwisdom.com, because I couldn't remember. But other than that, I didn't do any real prep for this. How can I say this? Leaning Toward Wisdom is a passion project, pure and simple. And it feels very selfish for me. It's not, because there's you. And the problem that I admittedly have, I freely confess I have this problem, is getting too selfish and thinking, this is my passion project and I love it, and I should be devoting more time to this enterprise or that enterprise, this thing over here that will help support my family. And you know what I'm saying? And it just, there, more often than not, I would say 90% of the time or more, it feels too selfish to devote too much time to this. Does that make sense? Now, here's where it gets really selfish. Because what are you, chop liver? I mean, you know, where are you in all this? Well, you're up front and center, and I'm thinking about you. But I'm not, when it comes to producing the show, I'm thinking about you once I'm in the throes of it. Getting started on a new episode is colossally selfish, because it's a passion project. It's what I love to do. And it feels like you don't need to be doing this. You know, you got this other iron in the fire over here, and it could be income producing. And that all sounds like I'm being very mercenary, and I'm not. But I'm just like you and everybody else, right? We got to make a living. And being kind of a solopreneur, there's even more pressure and there's even more loneliness. And so it just doesn't feel right. More often than not, it just doesn't feel right to devote time to something when I need to be devoting time to something that can help support my wife and I. Does that make sense? I hope so. If I botch that, then I botched it. So, when you're up at night, how do you pass the time? Well, ironically enough, I do pass the time in doing some writing here. I pass the time mostly in listening to music. I will pass the time in watching YouTube videos. I admit that over the last 5 years, I've gotten increasingly more and more into watching YouTube videos. And quite often, I'm watching content that is congruent with brain chemistry and neuroscience and stuff about human behavior, because that's where my interest is. Yes, occasionally I go hopping down some bunny trail of, you know, people that are living in tiny homes. I'm fascinated by that. I've been fascinated recently with people, and not people my age, but even younger people, who are living on the road full-time RV life. That's been the most recent. I have zero desire, by the way. I mean, zero desire. Now, I think there are some RVs, especially Airstreams and stuff, that are just cool as all get out. But I am not a camper. I'm not an RVer, and I don't want to be a camper, and I don't want to be an RVer. But I'm kind of fascinated by these couples that, you know, they drive down into Mexico and down into Central and South America, and it's like, really? I mean, I just think of, and the videography is ridiculously good. So I enjoy some of those stories, and I enjoy the videography and the photography. And of course, all of these people, they've got drones, and so the drone footage is kind of unique. So these stories that are being told on the internet really captivate me, and it doesn't matter what the context is. I came across a young lady who is a truck driver. You know, she got a degree in psychology, and she's on a truck, and she's got this videographer. I guess she hired them. She drives for FedEx or somebody, and she's got this videographer that goes with her, and it's a very well done. You can tell she's not doing the editing. She's driving the truck. And this other person, and some of that videography is really, really good. I have zero interest in driving a truck. I have zero interest in women who drive trucks or men who drive trucks, but it's kind of a compelling story. You know, I'm sitting here looking at this young lady. She's in her 20s, and I'm thinking, okay, a young lady, what's her story? I mean, a young lady in her 20s with a degree in psychology, and she jettisons everything, and she travels with this German Shepherd dog and a videographer, and she's driving a truck, and she acts like she loves it, so hooray for her. But so when I'm up at night, I go hopping down these bunny trails of things that interest me. That's the short answer. And a lot of times it's music. I listen to a ton of music. What is your workflow? Has it changed through the years? Yes and no. The workflow from the way that I produce content has not changed hardly at all. The technology part of it has changed rather dramatically, especially with the Rodecaster Pro. The workflow, I could approach workflow from both of those perspectives. One is creating the content, the other is from the technical part of it. So let me tackle the technical part first. With the Rodecaster Pro, I've got this one piece of gear. I got multiple microphones plugged in. Sometimes I want to use one mic or versus another. And the recording is done in recording software that's on my computer. The software I use is called Twisted Wave. I do not record to the SD card on the road. I don't double record, so I don't have any redundancy. And in more than 20 years, I've not lost a recording. Everybody says, yeah, well, you will. Well, okay, if I do, I do. I don't care. It's fine. So I'm recording. Like right now, I've got Twisted Wave running on one monitor, and I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at the levels go up and down. I'm doing it in two channel. So the software and all that kind of stuff has changed, and the technology has changed. I don't have the rack of equipment. I don't have a big mixing board and then another side mixing board. It's just all kind of in one unit right now, and it's all kind of self-contained. So the technology has really changed. The workflow as far as the content goes, it begins with writing. It always begins with writing. It begins with an idea. It can begin with a phrase, a quote, a sentence. Something that kind of sparks my imagination. From that, I begin to make notes. I begin to write things down that come to my mind. I intentionally let the ideas percolate. I intentionally don't try to, I'm not pushing water up a hill is the phrase I always used, which means I'm not trying to force things. I'm just letting things kind of naturally happen. The episode that I'm working on right now, let me open up a tab and make sure I can find it. The episode I'm working on right now is called Now What Are You Gonna Do? Now What Are You Gonna Do? And the Now What Are You Gonna Do really came from conversations with people around the new year and people who were going to have these new year resolutions. And most everybody went into it full well knowing they weren't going to keep them. And if you're not going to keep it, or if it's going to go by the wayside, okay, well, now what are you going to do? And so that was the genesis of that idea. Now, this has been going on since December. Okay, so tap the brakes on your expectations. So when this episode comes out, do not expect greatness, okay? I'm a mere mortal man. So that's the other thing. Some of the better episodes, at least in my opinion, maybe not yours, were episodes that it just, the epiphany came, I got in a flow, it kind of happened, and for me, those tend to be the better ones, the ones that come more easily, that come more fluidly. Others like this one, I've worked on this one, and I've put it away, and I've worked on it and put it away, and I finally just backed my ears and thought, I'm just going to make this, I'm pushing this one over the finish line, because I kind of like the idea, now what are you going to do? And it's so congruent with a lot of things that I feel, namely, what's next? I mean, so many times we get ahead of ourselves and we look down the line and we want to summit this big mountain. And it's like, well, but there's a lot of stops on the way that we need to first get to. So I'm all about these kind of smaller, more bite-sized kind of things. But it begins with the writing. The workflow is the writing. Writing it, getting it down, and then I just record and I just go. And I'm looking at it, and I'm following it. I'm not necessarily reading it word for word. I'm just, it's I've already thought about it, and I've already lived with it long enough, and I've written it, so I know it. I kind of know it like the back of my hand by that point, and it just makes the recording go better. And because of that process, I'm not sitting around with a bunch of pauses and going, I'm not doing that because I've already written it. I've already gotten through all of that stuff. And so hopefully that stuff doesn't make the audio recording. So that's the workflow. I hope that helps. Last question. How long will you keep doing Leaning Toward Wisdom? I don't know. As long as I'm able. I'd like to. I have zero intentions of stopping. I have zero intentions of kicking this to the curb. In fact, I just redid the website, and go check it out if you care. Check it out on a mobile device. I'd love to get your feedback on it. I just want to make the site, I don't know. I'm really into minimalism as far as design stuff goes. I really don't like, I don't know. People like all the videos and all the big images and all that. You know, if I was a photographer and was wanting to show off photography work, okay, I might do that. But so I've just redone that. The website is still, it's the notebook. The website's the notebook. And so it's important to me to have a notebook that I really want to open and grab a pen and start writing. And I would probably answer the question, how long are you going to keep doing this? I'm going to keep doing it as long as I want to keep opening the notebook and keep writing. There you have it. Your questions answered, part one. If you've got questions that you would like to submit, you can do that by going to leaningtowardwisdom.com. Just click on the contact page. Shoot me an email, ask me your questions, and I'll load them up for a special episode of part two. And we'll keep doing this. Probably should have done this before, but just kind of a nice, concise way to put stuff out there, especially for those of you that don't want to go back and go through all the archives. I'm going to try to get this next episode out, which will be episode 3, technically, of season 2020. I'm going to try to get that done here in short order. Today is February the 26th, 2020, so I'm going to release this episode today. That's another thing that I do. I'm not real big on this whole time-shifted content creation stuff. You know, record a few shows and then just schedule them out over the next few weeks. I never do that. I pretty much do what I urge you to do when it comes to wisdom. Let's exercise this in real time. I'm a guy who, I don't do live podcasting, but, well, I do everything but live podcasting. I'm real close to doing things in real time. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm glad that you clicked play. Again, go join the Facebook group if you care to. LeaningTowardWisdom.com is the website. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.